We wake up in the land of glory. You know, that's a ride. I don't know. Looking forward to it when it's the time comes. I'm not trying to push it, okay? Not anymore. I don't do stupid things as stupid things. Let me rephrase that. Yeah, exactly. But you know, so many people. Here's what I was taking out of all this today. I'm, you know, back here with Carter, and he's just a bouncing on me and just kicking my belly. Really gets after a little bit in the same spot. But I was standing there thinking, you know, everybody wants to run off to heaven. They want to know more about God, which I get. But yet, if we look at the example that Jesus Christ lived for us on this earth, twice we have it where he sat down and held children. And I look down here and I see these guys. I mean, Grayson, man, I'd have done through my chunks would have been coming up. He's just a spinning during that song, you know, and he's just rejoicing. And we think Carter's singing. We don't know. That's what we're going to assume. But you know, being in the presence of the children, that was something that meant something to Jesus. He learned. If you want to know about being closer to God, you might want to try to become his little children. Does that sound familiar? We'd get in here and suddenly we'd walk through a church door and suddenly that stick shows up. Do I need to tell you where it's at? We're so rigid that we can't rejoice. We can't have fun. We can't crack a smile. I always love to see, I know people when they come in here, if they've never been in here before, what they're expecting. I can tell how they're going to react, whether or not they smile during praise and worship. I mean, seriously, because praise and worship in this church is not like any other in this county. There are some that try to replicate it. Yeah, I mean, this is just phenomenal. But to be in God's presence just means have fun. Live a little. And people are getting that. And I know you guys are getting that. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Yeah, just keep in mind, people that aren't here, a lot of them are sick today. I got a text while I was in my office, and we got others that got called into work. So, you know, just pray for them, because that creeping crud, it just got to stop. Amen? Amen. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this glorious day. And now, Lord, we come before you as little children. We come to sit at your feet, to rejoice in your presence, to be with each other. Father, I thank you and praise you for this opportunity. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to bring our tithes and offerings in. Lord, we present them to you as holy. Lord, as separate, Father, I pray that you bless them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, according to your word, pour blessings out into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. And I have got to have my water. Y'all know we've talked about, this has nothing to do with today's message, how, you know, Bible says he works all things to our good. You know, I teach you that. I've taught you that he said he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. The other day, I've been working now for 3 years on our bathroom. And I've finally been getting the tile done and just getting around, got the opening ready for the door, started mounting the door. And I told her, I said, this time, because I made a mistake on the last door and made it a little narrow. So much so that I had to order a new piece of glass. So the door was no longer a deal. But this one, I said, I've got it. This is the size of the door. And I mounted everything up and hung the door, and it was that much too short. And I just looked. I said, I have no idea what happened. I said, it is exactly the width it was supposed to be. Well, I went and looked at the box. I can't find any markings on the box to tell me the size that it was supposed to be. Found the paper. The instructions told me what size the door was supposed to be. And I said, this is not the door that I picked out. They had handwritten the wrong number on the edge of the box over a year ago. That's when I bought the door. I'm like, yeah, you ain't going to get money back, and I have no idea where the receipt is. And I'm on Menards' watch list right now because I've had 3 returns without receipts. They told me I'm on their bad boy list for a while. I'm like, I just want store credit. It's your. But anyhow, and the other door, like I said, that we had made a mistake. We had shrunk the shower up a little bit and forgot to make adjustments on the door. Well, the door was made for the bigger opening. And I ended up breaking the glass. One thing led to another. We ordered a new glass and got it in. I should have ordered a little smaller, but I didn't. And the door was always catching. And the other night, man, my heart just went. Because the one door was $800. I didn't pay that. I paid $95. You got to be willing to look for those yellow clearance stickers. And, but anyhow, I'm like, I'm just getting frustrated. I'm getting ready to sit down on my tablet and look, see how much the right size door is going to run me. And, all right, at that point, I probably could have just called and ordered a piece of glass cheaper. But anyhow, I'm like, God, I don't know what. And I got walking in there. She went in. I don't remember if she was getting ready to cook some dinner. I think we was getting ready to have some dinner and just let our minds go. Sometimes you got to do that, don't you? Sometimes you just got to walk away from the problem so you can think clearly. And as I was walking by the bathroom, I just heard that glass will fit there. I'll be. That glass will fit there, and that glass will fit there. So we ended up taking the doors apart. I had to do some shimming. And I was like, I told her, I said, right there it was. It's so nice. They latch right. The other one, there was a couple times I was afraid we were going to break the glass. But just like that, if you wonder, how does God, it says he rebuked the devourer. First off, you got to be faithful and trust him in this. But just like that, he took care of the whole problem by trusting him and letting him do what he said he would do. Not getting myself all worked up, but by listening. See, that's our biggest problem when it comes to God, is we don't listen. We got everything else screaming for our attention, our job, the problem at hand. We don't stop and listen to what God is saying to us right then and there. And then in the end of it, you know, whether I'm an optimist or what, but look for the blessing in the problem, in the situation. Look for it. The blessing will come out of it. You just got to keep pushing forward. All right, so today we're going to keep moving on with running the race to win. Today we're going to look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. It says, you shall not commit adultery. That's pretty much cut and dry, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if you don't understand what that means, well, let me help you out a little bit. Several years, many, many years ago now that I think about it, I worked at a factory, and this woman in the factory, she was married, but her and her husband were not seeing eye to eye anymore. primarily because he's my size and she's 6'2", but no, that had nothing to do with it. Yeah, it really was. But she asked me one day, she said, Art, do you think kissing another man is adultery? I said, so-and-so. I said, any affection that is due your husband and you give to another person is adultery. If you're hugging somebody else instead of your husband. Now, hugging in and of itself is not a sin, is it? But when you're hugging another man or another woman in lieu of your spouse, you are sinning. You are giving them the affection that is due. You want to know why your marriage is on the rocks? Because you're not giving the affection due. The Bible tells us to give the affection due to our spouses, and that's what we're supposed to do. You shouldn't be going around kissing other guys or gals. Listen, our society does not do that. We are not the kissers. You go over in other European countries and Asian, some of them do. They will kiss. Some of them even on the lips, guys on guys, and it doesn't mean they're gay. It's just their habits. Just like the Bible tells us to greet each other with a holy kiss. Any of you guys want to kiss me? We're going to talk. But years ago, I had been feeling it, but I was resisting it. And finally, God just spoke through her because he couldn't get through me. That, you know, we went to guys hugging guys, girls hugging girls. The reason for that was not because we didn't care, you know, that you hugged a woman or a guy. It was the fact that we did not want to promote something that somebody else may be struggling with. And after we implemented that, we had several women come up and thank us. Now, they were uncomfortable with it, but it's a biblical tradition in that country. Oh, and by the way, guys hugged guys and girls hugged girls. It wasn't you got to go around hug another man's wife. And that's where a lot of predators start coming into churches that are just open on that. They come in and they start looking for churches that, and they start preying on the women and the young girls. I know for a fact we had one who came to the church just to look for the girls. And I tell you right now, I never turned a blind eye to him. I kept my eyes open. I wanted God to change his life drastically, but if not, sayonara, hasta la vista, you're gone. You're not here to pray. We will not let the wolves come in and prey on the sheep. But to commit adultery, you know, we live our lives where if you did it, you did it. But if you thought about it, well, you know, I just thought about it. Jesus, you know my thoughts. Yeah, he knows the thoughts of men. He said it in Genesis. I said, I know the thoughts of men. They're always evil. In Psalm, he said it again. He said, the thoughts of man are futile. And then again in the New Testament, for the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. He knows your thoughts. That's why Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. He said, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I heard, I think it was actually Doc Barclay talking about this one time. He was with Lester Summerall. And they were in a mall. And I think they were waiting on Lester's wife. She was shopping and they were sitting in the middle, you know, the men's row. And he said, I was a young man at the time, and he said, I'm sitting there, and this good-looking woman walked by, and I looked up at her, and then I realized what I did. And he said, I'm just sitting there feeling ashamed. And he said, Dr. Summerall looked over, and he said, son, if you looked once, you're a man. If you look twice, that's when you start having a problem. Let me help you out here, too. To acknowledge that somebody is good-looking, that you find them good-looking, is not sin. I know the boys, I mean, they were just all the time, Dad, Mom said so-and-so was good-looking. I don't see it, but hey, who am I to argue? No. Or there'd be times that we would say, well, yeah, and I've told her, I said, that's a good-looking guy. I'm not gay. Or that's a good-looking woman. But a beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What one person finds attractive isn't attractive to another. And so just acknowledging that somebody that you think they're a good-looking person is not sin, and you're not crossing any lines unless you sit there and start salivating over it. That's when you have a problem. Years ago, I went to an event with a brother in the Lord, and this event, there were a couple of very scantily clad women running around. And I was doing my best not to make contact. I know where my mind goes, and it's like, nope, we're going to crucify you right here and now. We're going to crucify you to the floor. You're going to look at the floor until they're gone. And I was doing good until I got a hit in the shoulder and said, hey, look at that. Are you kidding me? No, don't look at that. And it wasn't even all that attractive to me, honestly. Wrong type. But the point being, we were somewhere. My brother should have been looking at the floor, looking around, looking at the ceiling, looking at this thumb, picking the dirt out of his thumbnails. I don't care. Because Jesus taught later on after this, he said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Now, those are the extremes of those of what he's talking about. You understand that, right? Today, if your computer offends you, well, most of us, you got to have a computer to do work, right? It doesn't matter what, I mean, some of the references I use are on the computer. Well, Pastor, you're going to just have to just turn the computer off and go back to books. Man, I can find it a whole lot faster with just search. So what do I got to do? I got to set parameters. We all have to set parameters. Cut that off. Well, that slows my computer down. Whoop-de-ding-dong. It's either that or burn your whole body in hell. Take your pick. Well, you know, Pastor, I can go into the dance club and not sin. Want to bet? I can't tell you how many times I see the movies. I'm like, good night. I never got into the dance scene, but there ain't nothing good going on in those dance clubs. I was watching, I can't remember what show it was the other night, and the guy looked over at his buddy, and their buddy was out there, and he said, man, if that girl gets any closer, he's going to get pregnant. We're talking about where that is commonplace. And let me tell you something right now, I'll help you out. The church thinks it's okay to go into those places. Let me help you a little bit here. If what you're doing is causing you or anybody else to sin, it is sin. If you know to do good and do not do it, it is sin. Okay? That's where we have to start realizing what Jesus was talking about. He said, but I say to you, whoever looks at her with that thought, he has already committed it. Why? Because of Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. This is talking about a miser. You can go on with the rest of it if you want, but this is what I want to focus on, that first part. As I think, therefore I am, right? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you keep thinking on having illicit relationships with that person, what's going to happen? You're going to lead yourself that way. What did we learn last week about feet that run to sin? God hates them. You're already setting your heart into motion. You think about something long enough, you will do it, will you not? I can testify you will do it. I got a lot of scars and a lot of bumps and bruises to prove you'll do the stupid thing that you thought about long enough. These guys, we see them all on these videos and they say, here, watch my beer, or here, watch this. They've been thinking about this stupid stunt they're about to try for a long time. Now here's the problem with alcohol. It totally drops the guy at the gate who's guarding you from stupidity. It puts him to sleep, and you will do stupid things. Again, done them. Been there, done that. And when we go preparing ourselves up, in this case, we are talking about adultery. You keep thinking about that woman. She looked at you. Maybe she smiled at you. She thinks I'm hot. She thinks I'm the stuff, man. Well, first off, brother, before you go running off and dumping your 30-year marriage down the drain, find out, look at how she treats everybody. Does she smile at everybody? Does she talk? Is she friendly with everybody? Well, she's just a flirt. See, that's what jealous women say. She's just a happy, personable person. I'd rather have somebody I enjoy talking to than the old crab. I think I'll go down here. She didn't bite my head off. And it's not because this person was ugly or anything. By the way, personalities go a long way in a relationship. Now, guys were always, you know, when you were single, you were always told to watch out when they come and say she's got a good personality. You knew you were being set up by your buddies. But when we start thinking about it, we will cross that line because we've thought about it so long. The Proverbs here is actually talking about a miser. He doesn't mean for you to eat and drink. He's setting you up. Just like you are setting yourself up if you think, well, you know, he paid a little attention to me. My husband ain't paid no attention to me. My wife ain't paid no attention to me. What are you doing to get attention paid to you? You know, we were joking the other day. What are we on, 28? Yeah, next week will be our 28th. Our 28th wedding anniversary. That's a long doggone time. I don't know about y'all, but you know, stop and think about it. When we got married, we were 20. We were 20 years old. We didn't even know anything about 28 yet, let alone 28 years together. How do you keep a marriage going? You know, and I know we're not the top rung of this totem pole. Every time I'm with Bob and Karen at a wedding, we all look at them and like, well, we're going to be, they'll be the last ones in the dance. But we do not fall out on the first 10 notches. You got to keep making each other feel special. You got to keep doing, I mean, I don't expect her to do all kinds of things. But you know what? When she gets up and she fixes me breakfast, that means I'm special. Now, if she gets up and fixes me the bowl of cereal, now come on, I can do that. Actually, I can fix the breakfast too, but yeah. It's pretty special cereal. I'm going to be in trouble if I go and get my cereal out tomorrow and there's tape on it that says special cereal. But you see, you have to keep working on it. Guys, just like when you were trying to woo her with your ways, you had to work on it. Gals, let me help you out. If you were combing your hair, doing your hair, taking a shower every day to get a man, he appreciates that afterwards. You know, I'll tell you one of the things for me, for when Angela and I were dating, we didn't get a whole lot of date time. Well, you know, because Uncle Sam decided I needed to be in Japan. But the month and a half that we were together before I left, I worked with him. And she would shower every night, have her hair washed. And that hair, there's a ton of hair there. And she'd always have it in a braid, but I remember the smell of the conditioner. I don't remember the perfume. I remember the conditioner. And that brings me good memories. You know, some women think, well, I gotta have this $300 lingerie set. For what? 30 seconds of wearing it? But y'all do what you do, okay? I ain't telling you. There's more women out here than there is men this morning, so this is a little awkward up here. By the way, guys, you can put a little lotion on your hands. I say that as I'm sitting here. I can sand drywall without a sander right now. That's what drywall and tile work will do for you. Taking care of yourself. Smelling good. Put a little aftershave on. Clean up. Well, my wife just ain't been looking at me. Well, I wonder why. As I stand up here sucking in my stomach. We came to the, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, we came to the revelation last week. Susan had gotten us a little, gotten Carter this little dress blues pajama set. They look like my dress blues. I got a picture, he's adorable. But somebody said, oh, Grandpa, get his on. Yeah, Grandpa stops about right here. Yeah, I don't even know if I can get my arms inside the thing now. But to tell you what she married, I was just in size. He is about 4 pounds shy of the weight I was. Yeah, that was about 70 pounds ago, almost 80. There ain't a whole lot I'm going to do about that. And honestly, I don't want to go back to 120-something. That is... I look back and like, man, no wonder nobody took me serious. Man, I look like a junior high kid wearing dress blues. Oh, but to be that junior high kid again. No. I'd tell him to do some things different. But folks, adultery, we have to watch our heart. You may need to sit down and have a heart-to-heart. If things are a little strained in your relationship, feel free to have a heart-to-heart talk. You got to talk. We have, my husband don't know by now. Well, listen, let me speak for all men. We're pretty dumb when it comes to female telepathy. We don't always get it. My wife tried for years. She'll lip something. I can't read lips. Y'all seen all those bad lip reading from the NFL on YouTube? That's what I hear. Say, what? You want a cake? You want cake and eat it too? What? What do you mean? But if we will focus on those relationships... I know a lot of stories in here. I know not every relationship was perfect. I know there was abuse. We're not going back down that road. Don't rehash it. Not worth it. Your relationship you're in now, nurture it. Protect it. You know, I'm getting ready. I'm going to put my garden out this year. A lot of people, I knew guys, they put electric fence around their gardens to keep their guineas and chickens out. I have yet to find out a real purpose of a guinea, other than to be mean and chase little kids. But we protect our gardens, don't we? We put stuff on to keep the bugs off. People put pie pans out on a stake to try to keep the crows and the birds off of them. Or they'll set owls. We will nurture our garden, but we don't nurture our relationship. We'll put fertilizer in the soil. We'll check the pH balances, and we water it, and we look at it, and we say, hey, that plant's languishing. I need some water on it, or I need some nitrogen in there. But yet we don't do anything with our relationships. And it doesn't cost $1 million to keep a relationship nurtured, folks. Because, be honest with you, for me, time. Time is something you'll never get back. You'll make more money. They raise more cows for steaks. So a dinner out, okay, it's kind of nice. And you do spend the time. But the time is something you actually spend and can never get back. So that time spent nurturing a relationship is not thrown away. So many relationships are washed down the tube because people are going in opposite directions. You nurture that relationship, you pull back together. That is why if Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Father, is the head of your relationship and you're both pulling towards that one goal, you stand a fighting chance. But when people refuse to pull in the same direction, I've seen Christians, I've seen pastors do it. One pulling this way and one pulling that way instead of pulling for the common goal that they said they've divorced. Well, we just have different goals now. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a bunch of garbage. We got different goals. Goals have nothing to do with your marriage. As a matter of fact, Jesus said there's one reason you can divorce. And that's sexual infidelity. Somebody done had an affair on you. And I know women, they've forgiven and they've moved on and they've kept pushing and trying to strive for that relationship. And the man, some of them buckle and they turn their lives around. But today, this is how bad, and this is, I'm preaching to the church. My job isn't to preach out there to the world this message. It's to preach to us. When the church says, well, you know what, we're pulling in different directions. You know, he wants to do this, she wants to do that. I'm sorry, maybe both of you need to take a back seat and step out of your role and work on your relationship. Because as I've told you guys, God gave me her and my children before he gave me this church. You are not my top priority. You are a priority. Understand that. But my top priority is my family. Is God and my family. That's it. Not my job. This is my job. I do that because I don't want to get to the end of the race and find out she hated me for 30 years. Or vice versa. My great-grandmother, my great-grandfather was a mean man. And I cannot to tell you he was mean. He thought it was funny to chase us with a belt. I mean, he was just, and he made belts, by the way. He had a leather shop. Although if he had ever saw us on top of his barn, he didn't catch us. We heard him coming and we took off running off the roof. Might be why I never got so tall, jumping off of barns. But she stuck with him. She didn't love him. But she stayed with him till he died. Her last probably 15 years on this earth were her happiest because she met a man who had been a bachelor all of his life. And he would come down out of off the mountain. He'd sit with her on the front porch on that little metal glider. You know which one, because all your great-grandmas had one. Or you may have one now. They're coming back in style. He'd sit with her and they'd hold hands. I never, ever saw my grandfather hold her hand. They didn't even sit on the same side of the room in the living room. She stuck with him. But maybe they both should have worked on the relationship together. Because she wasn't giving him any affection, and he never gave her any. Some of that I got from my own grandmother. She told me how he was. But he was a hard man. He lived in a hard time. I can't justify how he treated people, but and neither will I. I'm just saying it took a toll on his marriage. Talk about a loveless marriage. She didn't shed a tear when he died. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Here's the problem we have when it comes to relationships. We see problems and we want to deal with everything in the flesh. Ladies, gentlemen, if your spouse is doing something that just totally irritates you, quit nagging. Pray for them. Sometimes you do need to say something. You hearing me? Sometimes you got to speak up. In this country, we're at a standstill with our rights. Well, they ain't going to take, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to try to take your rights. The fact that we have a Muslim in Congress right now who would dare defy our president and thumb her nose at our Constitution should warn you. By the way, I learned of a little event, and Joe can probably, he should know about it. He's a history teacher. The Armenian Holocaust. I know they don't teach anything really about it. It's something I learned about this week. The United States doesn't officially recognize it as a Holocaust. It was the first modern Holocaust in 1915 is when it started. The Armenians were primarily Christians. The Ottomans are Muslim. The Ottomans got control of the government, passed the law, and they started killing Christians. Only five states in the United States recognize the Armenian Holocaust as being legit. The federal government will not recognize it because we don't want to hurt our relationship with a country named after a bird that we eat. Sometimes you got to say something. That's the only reason I feel like saying that today. We do not war according to the flesh. There is a time to say something, but then there's a time to do what we do the best. That's take the war to the right front and we fight it in prayer, believing. If your spouse, if you're having problems, pray for them intently, earnestly. If you're filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And if you're not, pray that you get filled with the Spirit so you can war. Come on, man. I'm just telling you. It's the difference between fighting the Revolutionary War and fighting the war in Afghanistan. How many thousands of Americans died during the Revolutionary War? It took a good, what was it, Pat? They could load, what, three times, about 10 seconds? To load a muzzle loader back then. That's a good one. That is a good loader. That's a guy who can, man, he can load that muzzle. I know when I shot his Thompson Center, or Hawkins, at a deer, and I saw the deer, he was kneeling down, and I'm standing out there, my nerves are starting to take over, I'm starting to get cold, and I'm trying to pour the powder into that stupid gun barrel, and then I got to pull the rod out and cram it. That's why I like the one I got now. I don't have to do any of that. But back then, you didn't get, it wasn't like today. Today, oh my goodness. You just shot a whole volley of ammo that would have taken an entire battalion an hour to fire. That's what the Holy Spirit does for our prayer life. By the way, our casualties are way down. We learned how to fight better too. So we do not war according to the flesh, but we war according to the Spirit. All right, next. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Listen, many times husbands and wives, they will act like their parents, one or the other. Now my brother-in-law and I, we have always joked about Angela and her sister. They laugh the same. There's been a couple times I almost got in trouble I had to start looking at hair before I grabbed a butt. Get me in a lot of trouble that way. But there's one thing we've both said. Angela and her sister are just like her mother. That's not a bad thing. I can think of worse, Karen. I can think of a whole lot worse. What'd you say? But you see, you will act like one of them more predominantly than the other. And if it's a stronghold of something that is destructive, you can pray. They're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is a fortified embankment. You cannot penetrate it with normal weaponry. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, abortion is more than just a legal issue, a moral issue. It is a spiritual issue. We have got to hit that war a whole lot harder than what we're hitting everything else. Why? Because it was illegal before they legalized it, and there were still abortions happening. Drugs were illegal. Hasn't stopped them. Oh, by the way, murder is illegal. In Chicago, guns are illegal, but yet they're the murder capital of the United States. So it's not working. Legalization does not do anything. But mighty through God are our weapons. We'll maybe talk about them some more sometime again too. I know I've talked about them over the last 18 years, but that's just the way it goes. Next. Casting down arguments. Now, I wanted to stop right there. That was those three words. Casting, and the Bible also says, some translations put it, casting down thoughts and imaginations. See, Jesus said, if he thinks about it, he'll do it. Solomon wrote, as a man thinks, so he is. If you think you're a low-life scum, how are you going to act? Like low-life scum. If you think, and that's why the Bible tells us that we shouldn't love, we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Where's that all? It all generates up here. I'm not low-life scum. I'm the child of a king. But I'm the child of a king who came and served and died. I'm not the child of a king who says, bow and kiss my ring. I'm the child of the Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who sent his son. I've told y'all before, I don't know that I could. Somebody asked me the other day, so any of you boys going to join the military? And I said, you know, I've left that up to them. I said, I didn't push it one way or the other. I said, I'd be proud. But I said, I'm not going to push it. And by the way, everybody who asks me that have never served. Because that's the hilarious part. It's like, y'all do realize that when they're doing their job, people are trying to kill them. Don't know how happy I'd be. I can promise you I wouldn't be happy. I'd be like them old guys I read about in the military retirement homes. Why don't they send us? Hey, we're in the twilights, man. Ain't nothing working anyhow, so let us go over and take them. But casting down, we'll put thoughts and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? That we should love one another. A husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church, that he gave himself. I shared this years ago, but let me tell you something. Speaking as a man, inside the heart of every man, I believe it was John Eldridge wrote a book called Wild at Heart. He starts talking about how at heart, men are wild. Men want to dominate. They want to conquer. They want to explore. They want to go places. They want to do things. So when a man, and I'm not saying women don't, I don't think like a woman. You all understand this, right? Okay, yes. You are quite welcome. But as speaking as a man, when a man says, will you marry me? He is saying, I am willing to lay my life down. I'm willing to lay that down. Now, I know a lot of men that don't, but guess what? They have awful marriages. It's not saying you can't ever go have fun again. That's saying there's a part of you that's going to die. And die does not mean it gets resurrected. It's gone. My days of climbing the sides of mountains with an M16 strapped around my neck, they're done. I never got to fly from the bottom of a helicopter hanging from a rope. At this juncture in my life, don't think my stomach can handle it. I don't want to be the guy on the bottom, but if they find out I'm going to puke, they ain't going to let me be on the top either. So we got to cast down thoughts and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's a good-looking woman. Very nice. This is a gorgeous woman. This is my wife. Ladies, just because your husband looked, don't go Lorena Bobbitt on him. It's only if he acts like John Wayne, then you go Lorena on him. How many of you don't know who I'm talking about? Okay, everybody knows. You see what I'm saying? Well, you looked. Now, I'm saying if you're walking down the thing and he's like, feel free to smack him up the side of his stupid head. Knock him out. I don't care. But let me let you know, that whole train of thought goes the other way too. Now, while in the military, honestly, they say some of the military women are bad. And I know some of them that were pretty bad. But, you know, even in the Marine Corps, they just weren't quite that level. They weren't to the level that the male Marines were. Until I worked in a factory. You talk about a culture shock for me. Those women starting at Flexible, that was my first factory, were awful. And they were married. I was embarrassed for them. And then I worked over at Cosmo. Holy moly. It was all fun and games until I became I was the eye candy. Hey, why don't you walk over there? Why? Well, I can't see you standing right here. You don't need to see me. We have some friends who, they were good friends of ours in North Carolina. He started working at a commercial shop, fixing people's cars. He got out of the Marine Corps. He walked away from 12 years. 8 more years he had retired. Personally, I think I would have sucked it up and went the extra 8. But he was done. And but his wife had a fantasy of Steven Seagal. That was her drool thought. She made him grow a ponytail. Like Steven Seagal. He was not Steven Seagal. Nobody really wants to be Steven Seagal. No. By the way, all of you that, y'all remember Kelly LeBrock, his first wife? She may have been a Pantene girl, but whoa! The years have not been kind to her. I don't care how much plastic surgery you get. But anyhow, she had this fantasy of Steven Seagal. She was trying to make her husband become Steven Seagal. So he starts working at this shop. There's a young gal works at the desk. And she started accusing him of having an affair with her. She comes out and she flirts with you. By the way, women, it doesn't hurt for you to flirt with your husband just a little bit. They do like it. Okay? guys, take it in. That way, when the little thing down the road is flirting with you, you're not tempted. Because if he's tempted, that means his tank is empty. Okay? Vice versa. She kept accusing him of having an affair because he worked. He worked late. He was trying to make money. By the way, he owed the Snap-on man. Anybody that's ever bought tools knows what I'm talking about. A toolbox costs as much as a truck. He had a toolbox, and he was buying all the tools because he needed them. And she kept accusing him of having an affair. I'd stop in from time to time. He was the only one in the shop. This is when he was supposed to be having the affair. But he kept working. He eventually bought the shop. Okay? That's how hard he worked. He became the owner. Stepped her up in life, bought her, got her a nice house and all this stuff, moved her out of a trailer. And when you live down there in hurricane country, you don't want to be in a trailer during a hurricane. The only thing holding it to ground is a few little pieces of tin strapping. And they'd already lost their first one because a tree fell on it. Anyhow, he did all that. She just kept pushing and pushing and pushing that he was cheating. Well, they are no longer married. And I don't know how many love interests she's had now. He got remarried, and that's been that. But I can tell you, he was my friend. He was not having an affair. She was so full of lust that she assumed that he had to be having an affair. Because in her heart, if Steven Seagal had shown up, she would have. When we bring those thoughts that are exalting itself against the knowledge of God, the Bible tells us love does not behave like that. Love hopes for all things. Hope believes all things. That's good things, by the way. Angela's had to remind me of that several times over the years. Hope or love believes the good. Even if it's not there yet, it believes there is the good that can come out. This woman chose not to. I don't believe for 1 minute she's happy. And I haven't talked to him in, I mean, just because I haven't been to North Carolina in 21 years. But committing adultery, folks, didn't start. Well, hey, I think I'm going to go hop in bed with this person. If the love tank is empty, it gets harder and harder to fight. Make them feel loved. And, you know, by the way, if you've got this lust issue, you know, I believe it was Gabriel Heyman said, you know, you can be dressed all the way up to your chin and dressed all the way to your ankle, totally covered, and still be full of lust. I was going to talk about our dressing modestly. We've got a pretty good handle on that here. But always remember that when you go out, ladies, you don't need a, you wear holy jeans, make sure it ain't in the butt. That's just wrong. I don't know about you. I mean, I like to show my wife off, but I ain't showing off the parts nobody else needs to see. That's mine. 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 That's why the Bible tells us to do that, folks. But I've been in churches where people, the hoo-hoo and the ha-has, they hanging out. And the ho-ho need to go. That should, this stuff is what's being accepted in church today. And it shouldn't be. We don't have to wear suits and ties all the time to church. Or sometimes I feel like dressing up. Most of the time, this is me. This is what I like. But, you know, I don't want my wife wearing a miniskirt up here. I don't want you wearing a miniskirt back there. Because while you may not think, there's a reason why guys like the miniskirts and why they're always dropping pins. Just saying. Well, I don't know why all these guys just keep dropping their pins around me and wanting me to pick them up. Do we have to be any more obvious? Dress modestly. Ladies, your body is for your husband, not anybody else. You ain't there to impress anybody. And I don't think we've had anybody dealing with this, but don't let anybody shame you for your body, male or female. I'm getting so sick and tired of reading the news. So-and-so being body shamed. Oh my gosh, who gives a rip? Internet trolls. See, it dresses the trolls. Do you know what a troll is? It's a stupid little plastic doll you put in and it tears. Think about that when people start bad-mouthing you. Who cares? Sometimes you'd like to grab them and go, I know I would. I mean, you may not, but I think if we get enough guys, we could get them spinning and see if their hair could. Because God put this in here, folks, one, because this is a basis of the family structure that is being attacked now. Okay? And if we keep the sexual sins out of the church, this is a major, major strong point that we can stand on. But if the family is being destroyed within the church, it's not being addressed. There's not too many churches that'll talk about anything sexual. Trust me, you guys get a whole nother, you know this though. We talk about things in here that nobody else will even say. Well, we don't need to talk about that. Yeah, we do. It's what's killing the church. Well, Pastor, you know, I heard something. Well, all marriages end, 50% of marriages end. That statistic is actually wrong. That's in the church. The church, the one place we don't believe in divorce. But out in the world? No. And by the way, the millennial generation, their divorce rate is even less than any other generation before them. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point too. But those that are getting married, they're not getting divorced. Yeah, we could talk about that one all. Because that's being accepted in the church and it's wrong. Flat out wrong. So, just keep things in check, folks. And by the way, just keep in mind, if you're my friend on Facebook, I see what you post. And by the way, I usually do not ask people to friend me. I wait for you. So if you friended me and you post that, you brought it on yourself. I will pray for you. But I don't want to see no sexy cowboy standing there with sweat dripping off of him. He's fake. He doesn't have a real job. Huh? Yeah, brother, there's a reason why we're not on these calendars. Even when I was in shape, I wasn't going to be put on a calendar. Except skinny white boys. But you see what I'm saying? And guys, ain't no different. I don't want to see any Heathers, any Pamelas, any whoever else show up. I unfriended my pastor's daughter because of that, but she got hacked. By the way, just FYI, all these tests you're taking, you want to know why you keep getting hacked? And they are gathering information. I was warned of that several years ago, and now it's coming out. Well, it says I'm a genius. You're something, all right. You're a genius, and yet you can't park. Oh. Out here, we don't have lines. Of course, I can't say a whole lot. My truck doesn't. If you drive a truck, you know they don't fit in these spots anymore. I can pull all the way up to the front, and the back of my truck's still sticking out. Especially that hitch. Y'all know that knee getter. Yep. Works good. I've learned to walk around my truck. All right, let's stand. I really do. But that's not why I leave it in. I leave it in because I got rear-ended several years ago in a pickup truck, and that hitch took all the weight. It took the whole force. It bent my hitch and a little bit of the frame right there, but it totaled the car that hit me because it punched through her front end, through the frame, and when she bounced off, it pulled everything right off of her car. She was doing 25. So it protected us. Plus, I don't have to look for it. I know where it's at. But like she said, and Miss Gloria is doing a lot better. I know Susan sent in, she was not feeling well, and Harold and Sherry, and I got several others that are out sick and or working. Just pray for them. Pray for them this week that, you know, and if God moves upon you to, you got a word, you just want to say hi, do it. I mean, it does mean a little something. You ain't got to spend an hour. That's one thing I had to get over when it came to being a pastor and going to hospital visits. I don't have to be there an hour. Because how many times after 10 minutes, you have nothing left to talk about? Do you really want me to come and preach to you? You know, you're laying there. No. And I'm going to promise you right now, if I'm not feeling well, I don't want a ton of people all spending an hour wanting to know what's wrong. Well, I got something stuck sideways. I don't know. Just let me sleep. But anyhow, there are brothers and sisters. We pray for them. We support them. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are truly grateful, Lord, for the sun, for the beautiful blue sky that you created. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that your word was never intended to manipulate or control us, but to warn us of things that could come if we did not pay attention. Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us to bring the wondering eye, the lustful look into subjection, Father. Father, where the love tanks aren't being filled, Lord, I pray right now that you begin to work miracles in those relationships. Father, that you, one, you give voice to those that are needing, Father, and I pray, Lord, that you would give understanding to those who are withholding. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in each and every relationship in here. Father, that marriages are being strengthened. Father, that the love of the husband and the wife will grow stronger and that the children will see that strength and that they will rise up. And, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I call them a blessed people. They're blessed going in. They're blessed going out. Father, I pray that you move in their paths this week. Lead them, guide them, protect them. In Jesus' name, amen.